We are glad to make all of our JCast Network podcasts free for our listeners. However, they are not free to produce and host. Please consider making a donation to JCast Network to help support our work by visiting jcastnetwork.org/donate. Thanks for your support.
Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finn, and we've got a great show for you today. In this half hour of the show, we're going to be interviewing Carolyn Deitch, who is the director of the Center of the Treatment of Anxiety Disorders, and we're going to talk about keeping calm in quarantine. We had her on before. She's the author of The Road to Calm and The Road to Calm workbook. The portion of the week is not. It's been usurped because this week is the week of Passover, and so we will be talking about Passover in the second half hour of the show. We've got wonderful music sprinkled throughout the show, a dynamic Hasidic story at the end. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. The big story in Israel, an unnamed Israeli 25-year-old female civilian was charged with contacting a foreign agent, handing information to an enemy with intent to harm the state of Israel security, and providing a service to a terrorist organization. The woman could face 25 years in jail. Four people were arrested during Arab riots in Jaffa. The protests were held following the arrest of a man who was violating the isolation order from the health ministry. Rioters burned garbage cans and tires. Joseph Newman, the most seriously injured victim of the stabbing attack at a rabbi's home in Muncie, New York, in late December, died. He had been in a coma since the time of the attack. His attacker, who pled not guilty to 10 counts of hate crimes, could now face the death penalty. A synagogue in Rockville, Maryland, was vandalized with spray-painted swastikas and hate messages. Police people have nothing else to do. Police have security footage and are looking for the perpetrator. In related news, a Florida campaign office for Bernie Sanders was also vandalized with swastikas. The 33rd Israeli died this week of corona. 800 people made Aliyah, meaning moved to Israel in March. Another 1,000 are expected to arrive this week. 180 Israelis were airlifted from Australia on a 17-hour nonstop El Al flight, the longest nonstop flight for the airlines. The 2021 Maccabiah Games has been postponed for a year due to the worldwide corona crisis. Thousands of athletes from over 80 countries arrive in Israel to compete every 4 years in the Maccabee Games in the year after the Olympics. Speaking of Olympics, former Detroit Tiger Ian Kinsler will be playing baseball for the Israeli Olympic team next year. Kinsler's family became Israeli citizens in February. And finally, New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft sent the team plane to China to pick up 1.7 million N95 masks for medical personnel. Kraft donated $2 million, half of the cost of the operation, meaning getting the masks. And that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000. 358-9000 or visit them on the web at spexhoward.edu. Spex Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Hey, Michigan. Did you know that filling out the census helps fund life-saving medical programs?
Money for Medicare, Medicaid, and My Child is directly tied to your participation. And you can complete all 9 questions in about 10 minutes.
So be sure to fill out the census this spring and count everyone in your home. When everyone counts, everyone wins.
To learn more, please visit myvoicecounts.org. That's mivoicecounts.org.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. We're on live with Carolyn Deitch, who is the director of the Center for the Treatment of Anxiety Disorders here in Farmington Hills, author of The Road to Calm and The Road to Calm Workbook. How are you today, Carolyn?
I'm okay. I'm safe and sound in my home.
And I am sure that you are staying calm.
Well, I'm not every minute, but most of the time.
Okay, fair enough. And I understand that you are still seeing patients, and so that has to put some stress into your day.
Right, and I'm dealing every hour with people who are suffering from the uncertainty that is happening in our world. My patient population tends to be anxious, and this era, this is particularly difficult for all of us. But if you suffer from anxiety and have an intolerance of uncertainty, this period of time can be absolutely paralyzing.
Okay. Now, we had you on a bunch of years ago when you first came out with The Road to Calm, and there's all kinds of things that you suggested that people do, that they can do it at home, and we'd like to talk about some of those things. But let's just talk about, if we could, why is it that people shouldn't feel anxious, Dr. Carolyn Deitch?
Well, what people should feel is think about the seriousness of the condition. And in our lives, there are many things that we can control and things we can't control. So if we're proactive and controlling what we can, like keeping our surfaces clean and having social distance, then we need to move to a state of calm, knowing that in this moment, as far as we know, everything is okay. Because if we don't stay in that state of calm, actually our immune system suffers. We can influence people in our families by our anxiety in a deleterious way. So it's really important to stay as calm as you can, juxtaposed with taking action.
Okay. So the idea being is, this is generally true. There's no point in worrying about the things you have absolutely no control over, and the things you do have control over, there's really no point in worrying about them because you just take control of the situation.
That's
basically it in a nutshell. And
right.
I've been telling people this whole time, it's like it's really important that people keep happy, because happiness is, believe it or not, actually very good for a person's immune system. So you have people, many of the people listening to the show are living in urban areas via the various web sources of my website and the podcasts. And you have a scenario, for example, like in Brooklyn, which is a hot spot for this, and it's people are living really one on top of each other, and kids are not allowed to play in the alleyway because everybody's supposed to be inside. And you have families that might be of a larger size, and they're in small apartments. And it's sort of like at this point, it's like the Rebbe's advice, where a woman complained that her house was too small, and the Rebbe said, well, bring all your chickens, goats, and cows into the house, and then when you take them out of the house, your house will feel really big. But the idea now of keeping calm when at this point people are clamoring for cubic airspace, how is that situation going to be dealt with differently? What tricks could be used?
Well, the first thing that people need to do is calm their nervous system down. and so they can think appropriately. So what I like people to do is release muscular tension. And one of the tools that I have in my book is the tight fist. So what you do is you scan your body, imagine that all the tension in the body, all the worry in the body is going to one fist. You hold it for about 10 seconds, and then you slowly release it, and imagine that the tension is going into the carpeting or the floorboard and underneath the floorboards and into the core of the earth where it's cleansed and far away from you. And it's remarkable how just that minute of releasing tension can make a difference. And then from there, you inspired me to teach this, Rabbi, when you mentioned about being happy. One way of being happy or happier and less anxious is to move into gratitude. So I'd like to teach you an exercise right now that is involved with breathing with your heart. So if anybody wants to participate, they can, or just listen to me and put your hand on your heart.
I've got it there.
Okay. And now just begin to pretend that you're breathing in and out of your heart. So you breathe into 5, and then breathe out to 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And you do that several times. In, 2, 3, 4, 5. And out, 2, 3, 4, 5. And now I want you to think about something in your life that you feel good about, that you're grateful for. You see, it's really impossible to be in a state of gratitude and to be anxious and sad at the same time. So just focus on something that you're grateful for in your life.
Mm-hmm. And I feel better already. And I wasn't feeling bad before, and I feel better. So I guess if you're feeling good, and feeling better is also a good thing. Yeah, this is kind of a
better in your heart right now.
Yes.
And just feel it. Feel it in your heart, feel it in your mind, feel it in your harmony, and now continuing to do the 1 through 5 breathing through your heart as you hold on to the gratitude. Or you might even hold on to a happy memory. And when you feel sad or when you feel anxious, you can release tension with a tight fist and then go to the heart-centered breathing. And as you do that, what are you noticing? Your heart should feel lighter. You should feel lighter.
It does indeed. I feel my blood pressure just go crashing right through the floor.
Oh, you're a good responder.
Yeah.
Then the other thing, if you're open to another technique that is one of my favorites, is the okay symbol. The reality is in this moment, we're handling what needs to be handled. In this moment, we're okay. We get off balance when we think what might happen later. But in this moment, you're okay. So I'd like to suggest that you and your audience put your thumb and forefinger together in a position of making an okay symbol. And think the phrase, I'm okay in this moment. I'm okay. I'm okay. And in this moment, I'm okay because you are. And just feel your fingers touch each other, connect to an okay signal, universal okay signal. And remind yourself that in this moment, you're okay. We're all okay.
Okay. Those are terrific techniques. Our guest today is Carolyn Deitch. She is the director of the Center for Treatment of Anxiety Disorders in Farmington Hills. And we are talking about staying calm. You talk about gratitude. So one of the things we used to do when the Finman kids, or we call them the Finn kids, were all living at home, and they'd come home from from school. First of all, we always had dinner at 4:30 because the kids were like hungry and they were like cranky and their blood sugar was low. And it really is very important that a person keep up with their proper diet and not overdo the carbs and the sugars. Yes, indeed. And we would sit around the table, and then my wife one day said, "I'm tired of listening to your gripes. Tell us one good thing that happened to you." And at the dining room table, every single day would have to come up with something rather than this kid did this to me and my teacher did that to me and I hate this, you know. So rather than bringing the negativity, that everybody had to actually positively think something positive, and it changed the entire focus of the meal. And indeed, their entire attitude. When we had guests, when the kids would bring home like their friends, it was like so foreign to them that they had to think about something good that happened today. So I guess it is, a person should be focusing on what's good. No, Carolyn?
Yes, absolutely, because it's an antithetical state of mind from depression and helplessness and anxiety. I'd like to offer a couple other things if we have more time. Do we have more time?
Yeah, sure. Sure we do.
Okay. One of the things that we're all experiencing right now is uncertainty. Okay. We don't know how long this is going to last. We don't know if we're safe. We don't know how it's going to affect our businesses. So it's unrealistic to think that thought of uncertainty is not going to come through our minds. If you tend to be anxious, it's going to come more. So one thing to do is to honor it and say something like, "There's the uncertainty. I don't like uncertainty. I don't want uncertainty. And I can handle uncertainty." So it's much more effective than saying, "Don't be nervous," because it's there. So just acknowledge the thought or the feeling, nod your head to it, and then remind yourself that it's okay not to like it. It's okay not to want it, but you are strong enough to handle it. And then you can go back into the okay signal.
So we're talking about when there's like a path in front of you, talking about the road to calm, but your road has lots of variables. There's too many X's and Y's going in different directions. And so you're saying it's not like Yogi Berra said, when you get to the fork in the road, take it. It's like there's just too many things in the future that are going on. Are you saying more, it's like, well, live right now in what you have right now, and the uncertainty, well, you'll cross that variable when you get to it?
I'm saying that and to just acknowledge it. Don't pretend it isn't there. Just to say there's the fear, or there's the sadness, or there's the feeling of frustration that I can't get out of this house. Acknowledge it, be with it, say, "I don't like it, I don't want it, and I can handle it," rather than push it away. Because if you push it away, it'll bounce back. It's kind of like saying, don't think of chocolate. It'll pop back.
Right. Don't think of the red elephant in the room, and you'll start thinking about the red elephant in the room, of course. Okay. Again, our guest today is Carolyn Date. She is the director of the Center for Treatment and Anxiety Disorders. Going back to like people in quarantine, and you have people who somebody's just like feeling really upset because they just want their space. And so now you could call it space invaders, actually. So there is just only so much room, and there's only so much place you can go in a house. If you're living like listening in an urban area and you can't go take a walk someplace because you can't. So what are people supposed to be, how should persons deal with space invaders, and how should the space invaders deal with people?
Well, I think gentle and firm reminders. If there are space invaders where actually it's threatening their health, you have to be reminded of it. But again, it's kind of like the same thing. It's kind of like to say if somebody's feeling that their space is invaded and they're frustrated, we acknowledge, that's really frustrating. That feels really uncomfortable.
Let me interrupt you. I'm specifically thinking of like teenage daughters.
Teenage daughters specifically who are getting angry at each other.
Yeah, they need
space. Invading each other's space. And I think you just need to validate that it's really frustrating. It's really frustrating that your sister's invading your space and you don't like it. But I know that you're stronger than you think. You're more mature than you think. And you can gently and respectfully ask your sister to move a bit.
Back off. In a nice way. don't get out the six guns so fast. We're not challenging people to duels. No.
Right. This is a time where we need to be kind to each other. And we need to remind our teenagers to be kind.
Yes, that's also true. Great. And it'll be over soon. This is not going to be something that's going to take forever. And this is like we're in this for just like if you break it into like, I suppose, momentary units, it's, well, we got through this moment. Let's get to the next one. Your work, The Road to Calm, and the workbook for The Road to Calm, is it still in print? Is it still available?
Oh, yeah, available on Amazon. If Amazon's still delivering things, and on Kindle. And there are recordings that are included, both a CD, if anybody can transfer CD, and there's an app as well, the Road to Calm app.
Okay.
And one thing if we have a minute more, that I'd just like to add to what you said so wisely, is another approach that I take with people is to go into the future when this is over. Once they're in a state of calm, they have to be in a state of calm doing the exercises that I taught you today or the ones that you read about in Road to Calm or my other books. And then just imagine a time when things are back to normal, when we can go outside, we can congregate with our friends, our businesses are building up again, when the kids are back in school. Imagine it and bring that sense of relief back to the present, even if only a little teeny bit of you believes that, but just with a little bit of trust, go into the future when this is over. We don't know how quickly, but we do know that things will stabilize again. And then go into the future and think about what you've learned during this. We will have all learned something.
That is awesome. That's terrific. Well, we are out of time for this section. Again, our guest has been Carolyn Date. She's the Center for the Treatment of Anxiety Disorders. And if you think you might need to have an actual consultation with Dr. Date, I was just going online, doing a Google search for the Center for the Treatment of Anxiety Disorders in Farmington Hills. And all the consultations at this point, I'm assuming, are through electronic media, phone,
absolutely,
or Skype, or WhatsApp, or whatever that is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you're helping people and hopefully staying calm yourself.
Well, we're all doing our best, but we're all suffering in our own ways. This is transient suffering, but there is suffering. So let's all
transient,
stay safe and be wise.
Terrific. That's going to do it. Well, I wish you all the best and a happy and a healthy Passover.
You too, and to all your listeners as well. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. Take care. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Compass Healthcare, specializing in infectious diseases, is joining the fight against coronavirus, offering free direct telemedicine services to Oakland County residents who test positive for coronavirus and are homebound. We are on a mission to intervene with supportive care to diminish your risk of hospitalization. If you know anyone that could benefit from these services, please call 248-624-9800 immediately.
Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour again. If you are or know anybody who has been tested positive for coronavirus and are at home and don't want to wind up in the hospital, you'll want to call Dr. Bruce Rubin at Compass Care. His number again, 248-624-9800. Up next, as you could probably imagine, the Jewish music world has been impacted and affected, not infected, by what's going on in this pandemic. And so there have been songs that have come out to make counteract them, you might say. This is Yaakov Shweki, not unknown among in the Jewish music world. And the song is called Perfect World.
עולם חדש ראיתי עם אור של גאולה וכל הדמעות מכל הדורות הפכו לשמחה גדולה עולם חדש ראיתי בלי מלחמות ודם וכל האויבים נהיו אוהבים חיילים השבים לביתם מתי זה יהיה מתי זה יבוא הלוואי בקרוב די לצרות אין עוד כוח לבכות מתי נתעורר לעולם המושלם מתי זה יגיע בסוף אמן בקרוב אחכה לו בכל יום שיבוא ואז יהיה העולם המושלם מתי
Assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mycosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mycosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Herschel Sinman, you're listening to the Jewish Hour. We play klezmer music and we play parody klezmer music, and this is a parody klezmer song. The group is called Salsa. They're a French group, and the song is called Matzah is Dancing. Listen to this one.
Laila hasse mi kohla leilot Sheme kohla leilot anu ochli Hamau etzu matzo Halaila hasse halaila hasse kulo ho matzo Tanu ochlim and yoshvim uvan nesubim. Halayla
הלילה הזה כולנו מסורים. הלילה הזה, הלילה הזה כולנו מסורים.
Let my people go. When Israel won in Egypt land, let my people go. Oppressed so hard they could not stand, let my people go. And the Lord said,
that filling out the census helps fund life-saving medical programs.
Money for Medicare, Medicaid, and My Child is directly tied to your participation, and you can complete all 9 questions in about 10 minutes.
So be sure to fill out the census this spring and count everyone in your home. When everyone counts, everyone wins.
To learn more, please visit myvoicecounts.org. That's myvoicecounts.org.
Herschel Finman, you are listening to the Jewish Hour. You should have filled out the census form online last week already. The original due date was April 1st, but they did extend it because they were going to be sending out census workers in May, but that's been extended till the end of June. So they extended when you can do the online until the end of April, so just do it. It's not a big deal. It says it takes 10 minutes, but that's if you're reading the questions backwards. You could do the whole census probably in about 3 minutes, and it really is very important. I bet that if everybody in Michigan was actually counted, we would probably gain a congressional seat, and that would make life so much easier for people here in Michigan. So do it. I'm going to stop pontificating. This up next, one of my favorite all-time liturgical songs. This is sung by the immortal Saul Zim. It's called Shehechianu, which thanks God for allowing me to live till today. It is sung whenever we do some mitzvah that we haven't done in a long time, like this week, when we'll be celebrating Passover, and we'll be sitting down to the Seder, we will say this blessing of Shehechianu, and we can really thank God that we made it to this day. Let's listen.
Shehechianu, v'kiyamanu, v'higyanu, as one has one. Shehechayonu v'kiyimonu v'higeyonu lazeman hazeh. Shehechayonu v'kiyimonu v'higeyonu lazeman hazeh.
We all know there's an opiate epidemic, but Advanced Rapid Detox has a solution for people addicted to pain pills, heroin, and dependent on Suboxone and Methadone. Advanced Rapid Detox performs detox under sedation in the hospital. Patients sleep through withdrawals and wake up without cravings. Dr. Julia Aronoff and the staff at Advanced Rapid Detox help people restore their lives and the lives of their families. Addiction affects everyone, even in the Jewish community, and Advanced Rapid Detox is there to help. Call 800-603-1813. That's 800-603-1813. Or visit them online at www.advancedrapiddetox.com.
Herr Schulzman, and here you are listening to the Jewish Hour. This week is the holiday of Passover. It begins Wednesday night. Let's talk about some of the things that should be done, and we'll talk a little philosophy about why we're doing them. So, first of all, on Tuesday night, as soon as it gets dark, it is customary to perform Bedikas Chametz, to look for leavened products. That would mean any type of a grain product, bread, cereal, pasta, grain-based alcohols, you name it, those type of things are the five glutinous grains of wheat, barley, oat, rye, and spelt. And we take a candle and we look around our house for anything that we don't know is there. The stuff that you do know is there, you don't have to look for it because you know it's there. It's only the stuff that you might find during Passover and accidentally might come to eat is what we're worried about. Then it is customary to burn and get rid of all of our chametz. On Wednesday, we must stop eating chametz by the end of the fourth hour, which in Detroit is around 11:20. I don't have the exact times. And all chametz has to be burnt, destroyed, put away, and given away by 12:30 on Wednesday, Detroit time, if you're in Detroit. If you're in other parts of the country, you can check your local Chabad.org website, and they can give you the exact times. For those people, we have a custom of selling chametz, selling those products that you want to keep. If you got a rare bottle of scotch or not so rare bottle of bourbon that you don't want to drink or pour out necessarily before Wednesday at 11:30, well, you can authorize me to sell it to someone who is allowed to have it, which would be a non-Jew. And you can do that by sending me a request for such a thing. This is all done electronically these days. We are in quarantine. And send that to rabbifinman.com, that request. And in doing so, you'll be sending me an email, and I will send you an email back, and you can fill out the form, and you can email it back to me, and we'll take care of you. And I need those forms by Tuesday night. So please take care of that. So we are done with chametz, and that includes getting chametz out of your garbage cans before Wednesday at 12:30. I understand that there are various services. The city of Southfield, for example, has a service for getting rid of such stuff, and the city of Oak Park is not having their service this year. Rather, they're recommending that you just put your garbage out a day earlier, put it out on Wednesday on the curb in very strong plastic garbage bags, and they'll be picked up on Thursday with the regular garbage pickup, which is the first day of Yontif. So that's what we're doing there. Then, at the Seder, which is going to be the meal, we wait until it gets dark before we can do the Seder, which in Detroit is somewhere, I don't again have the exact time, I'm thinking around 8:45, is when we can start to make Kiddush. Other holidays and on Shabbos, we could bring it in early, but not on Passover. It says the night of Passover, and so we wait until it's really legal status of night, and so we start the first cup when it is dark outside, which I say is 8:45. It would be the earliest that you could, say, make your Seder, start your Seder. And I recommend that everybody get shmura matzah. At this point, it's really hard to find shmura matzah. This city, there was a big run on it. As soon as the governor announced the emergency, there was a tremendous run on shmura matzah. It's very hard to find in this town. But again, if you need shmura matzah, you'd like shmura matzah, send me a letter at request@rabbifinman.com, and we will talk and help you get that. It's customary to have 4 cups of wine or grape juice, and you can use a 4-ounce cup. And during the course of the evening, to talk about the Haggadah, to get yourself a Haggadah if you could. Bornstein's is still open. You can get them online at Amazon. And to discuss the Exodus, and as it says right in the first paragraph of the answer, the Haggadah is a set up on questions and answers. So the first paragraph of the answer is, the more you talk about the Exodus of Egypt on the Wednesday night and Thursday night, the more praiseworthy you are. So the Seder is not a prayer service. It's not something to run through and get to the meal, but rather it is something, it's a discussion in which a person is supposed to really be thankful for what they have. And at this Seder, we will have matzah, and you should have some bitter herb type thing, romaine lettuce, endive, or endive, as it might be pronounced, horseradish root. Those are available wherever types such things are sold. All your vegetable markets all have horseradish these days. I was actually very impressed with the horseradish root that I was able to procure. This thing is huge. There's enough horseradish in here to keep my whole entire family, which is in here, in tears. What's Passover all about? It says Passover is exactly what it is that we're going through now. Passover is about the Jews. They were in Egypt. The Almighty had made a promise to them. You're going to be taken out of Egypt. You're going to be receiving the Torah. You're going to be going to the promised land. And the Jews, listen, we talk about how horrible things was. It wasn't all that horrible. It wasn't horrible all the time that the Jews were in Egypt. As it says that the brick making didn't start until the last of Jacob's sons passed away, who was Levi. And the brick making stopped with the beginning of the first plague. So it was only a period of 116 years, but only 116 years is still a long time. And it was horrible. It was not fun. It was torturous, day in, day out, with no break. And it says the Egyptian exile was the worst one because all the Jews were together in one area. There was nowhere to go. There was no Torah even to rely on. It says that the Torah is meshiv nefesh. The Gemara says if a person has a headache, what should he do? He should learn Torah. Because the Torah is our lifeblood. We know this story with Rabbi Akiva, that the Romans had decreed that teaching Torah was illegal for the penalty of death. And Rabbi Akiva still taught publicly. And someone asked him, aren't you taking your life in your hand? And so he told them a parable of a fox that comes to the river and says, you fish. The fishermen's nets are downstream. Come up here on dry land and I'll protect you. And the fish responded, he thought the fox was supposed to be smart. This is the medium. We're in the medium in which we live. If we come up and if we stay in the water, there's a chance we'll get caught, chance not get caught. But if we come up on the dry land, we're for sure going to die. We have to stay in our medium. And that's what he said. I have to stay in my medium. My medium is Torah. And that's what a Jew's medium is. There are, in order for us to survive, this is taking a time now. It is unbelievable what's going on online and on via the phone. The amount of Torah which is being promulgated and broadcast, it is absolutely incredible. I do a Facebook, in addition to the radio show, which is on my Facebook page. So we have Jewish Ferndale. So we have right now a Monday night Tanya class. It is in Kabbalistic insights presented in a very understandable way in how to have a relationship with the Almighty. And Chana will be doing next she's already taught two classes on art, how to draw a crystal goblet and how to make a landscape. And those are all on my Facebook page, Herschel Finman on Facebook. And they're going to stay there for I don't know how long Facebook keeps them. And the next one will be the Sunday of Chol HaMoed, which is the 12th of April, will be the next live broadcast for her. And she's been giving an art history lesson. That's going to be at 4 o'clock on Sunday, April the 12th. My classes are Monday at 9 p.m. on Facebook Live. And tune in. I mean, it's really an opportunity to take advantage. I mean, there is a PSA that was put out by the CDC where Larry Gordon complains, what are you going out for when you can sit down and watch TV? TV, okay, is empty. But you have a computer, and it's connected to the internet. You could spend the rest of this pandemic just on Chabad.org with all the different pages of classes and any questions. You could type in any word that comes to your mind that you want to know about into Chabad.org, and there'll be a class about it. So it's a time to take advantage of these type of things. So they didn't have that in Egypt. And we, thank God, have the ability to go from one country to another if we need to. Like those 180 Jews who were stuck in Australia and wanted to get back home. They had a place. They had somewhere to go. There's always some place you can go. If really push comes to shove, everybody can just drop what they have and just go someplace else. That's the way the world is. It's a much better situation now. And they in Egypt, there was no precedent. It was the first one. They never knew about an exodus. We now, in the year 2020, know about two exoduses. There were two redemptions. There was the Egyptian redemption, when the Jews got the Torah, and there was the Babylonian redemption when the Jews got the second temple, which was bigger than the first one and it lasted longer. So we, now that we've been in this exile for 1900 plus years, we can rest assured that there's a Mashiach. And you're talking about looking into the future, like Dr. Carolyn Deitch expressed before. When this is all over and we're looking into the future and we're thinking, this is where my thought is. I'm not thinking about the picking up the two-thirds of the classes that I don't have anymore, but rather, and by the way, this parenthetical statement, if you'd like to have a private one-on-one class, you can, that can be arranged also. Contact me through RabbiFinman.com. But thinking through, back to close parenthesis, thinking through the future, we're told, we're promised that there is a Mashiach in our future. And people ask me, Rabbi, can you guarantee me this, or can you make certain that this is such and such? My response for the last 40-plus years has been, there's only one guarantee, and that Mashiach's coming. We are going to have to take a quick commercial break and come back with the Hasidic story. Don't go away. You're listening to the Jewish Hour.
Encompass Healthcare, specializing in infectious diseases, is joining the fight against coronavirus, offering free direct telemedicine services to Oakland County residents who test positive for coronavirus and are homebound. We are on a mission to intervene with supportive care to diminish your risk of hospitalization. If you know anyone that could benefit from these services, please call 248-624-9800 immediately.
Hi, this is Spex Howard. The Spex Howard School of Media Arts is proud to have been a sponsor of the Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding comes from its sponsors, listeners like you help keep the Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to the Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. That's 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. Your help is greatly appreciated. Thank you very much.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? Easiest way, I've said a couple times in the show, go to RabbiFinman.com. If you need shmura matzah, if you need to talk to somebody, if you need to sell your chametz, whatever it happens to be, if you need my services, RabbiFinman.com, and hit the contact page and I'll hit you. There's also archived editions of this show, different classes that I teach. Tanya class is actually pretty good, if I do say so myself. I did put a lot into it. It took years to get it up there. And you can listen to it in the background because it's just audio. And there's a whole bunch of stuff over there. Go check out RabbiFinman.com. And believe it or not, things still cost. I still have to pay for this podcast. And we need you to keep the Jewish Hour on air now 25 years. Please go to RabbiFinman.com. Go to the donate. It also, your contribution will also help Jewish Ferndale, which is still up and running as the best that we can. We're running in 1D and 2D, no 3D person-to-person stuff. But the bills are still coming in. So if you could, go to RabbiFinman.com, go to the donate page, donate, make it a monthly donation. It would be really great. Whatever it is happens to be, it'll keep us going. And you've listened all the way now for 54 minutes. It's time. Go to the computer. Donate now. The story. Let's see if I can abbreviate this story. The year, 20 years ago, the year 2000, and the Chabad representative in Florida, Rabbi Yossi Biston, was making a wedding for his first daughter. And it had been many years that he was married. He didn't have any kids. And here he was making finally the wedding of his oldest daughter. At the wedding, an old friend of his father had passed away, and this is an old friend of the family. He hadn't seen him in decades. And he was there. And he asked him, you're here? You took the time, make the trip to come down to the wedding? He says, what's the story? And he said, I'll tell you the story later. said after the actual chuppah of the wedding service, so Rabbi Biston went and looked up this guy. And he says, so tell me the story. He said, before your daughter was born, your father told me that you were having problems having a baby. So I woke up one day and I said, you know what? I'm going to go to the Lubavitcher Rebbe. I'm not a Lubavitcher chassid. I'm going to go to the Lubavitcher Rebbe, and I'm going to ask him for a blessing. And I'm going to be chutzpah. I'm going to be really, really cheeky about it. And so the Rebbe had specific scheduled times when he would, like, go out of his office, go home, that kind of stuff. So he came to 7-7, and he waited. He asked, when is the rabbi coming out of his office? They said he's going to go home probably about an hour or so. So he stood there by the door and waited. And when he waited, so he asked the Rebbe specifically, he said, Rebbe, I want to ask you a blessing for, and he mentioned the name of the chassan and the kal, the Rabbi Biston and his wife, and he gave the name, and the Rebbe corrected the names and said, no, it's not that name, it's this name. And the Rebbe said, I already gave them a blessing to have kids. And the man said, Rebbe, I'm not a chassid of yours, and to me a blessing's not enough, I want a promise. And the Rebbe thought for what this man said, which felt like forever, and the Rebbe looked up at him and smiled and said, you and I will both dance at his wedding, at her wedding, at this child's wedding. And the man said, Rebbe, you don't go to weddings. And he said, this one will be different. So the Rebbe passed away. That was 1980s, whatever it was, early 80s. And the Rebbe passed away in 1994. So here is the year 2000. And they got a wedding invitation. This man got a wedding invitation. And he thought, I can't go. I don't have the money for it. My business is failing. I don't know what's doing. And he had a dream. And the dream was the Rebbe came to him with the Rabbi Biston's father. And he said to him, the Rebbe said to him, we made a deal. Why aren't you booking a ticket for the wedding? And he woke up. And he thought, well, it's just because I was thinking about it. It's ridiculous. It's just a dream. And he had the same dream 3 days in a row. So now when he came to the office, this was on a Thursday, Friday, and a Friday, Saturday, and a Sunday night. When he came to the office Monday, the wedding's Wednesday, he came to the office. One of his customers noticed that, I don't know what kind of business he was in, noticed that he was not, when he said, so tell me, what's the story? He said, yeah, my business is not doing so good at this. So the man took out $400 from his pocket and said, go on a vacation, even if it's just a day or so. Get your mind off the business. And he went home, and he was, like, totally confused. His wife said, you should call up the Bistons and wish them mazel tov. He said, that's it. With all these indications, he got on a plane, and he went to the – he went down to the wedding. And he said he had this dream, and the Rebbe kept on repeating, I want to dance at that wedding, and I will only dance at that wedding if you're there. And so when the chassan and kala came out, Tony, if you could bring the music up. So when the chassan and the kala came out for the first time, and it's usually customary that the father of the bride dance with the groom, he was dancing with this person that somebody, that people didn't know. And they danced and they danced and they danced because it wasn't two people dancing, it was three. That's going to do it. That's going to be the show for you. We hope we had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope you have a chance to educate you a bit. Passover is Wednesday night, Thursday night of the Seders. Yontif goes all the way through Shabbos. We hope you have a great week. I'm sure you will. Stay healthy. Be safe. Take care. Until next week.